everyone doing on this wonderful Wednesday? Are you listening on Wednesday? I hope you are. If not, that's fine. Welcome to another episode of File Files. Rochelle, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am delightful. What a great episode. I'm excited about this one. I feel like it's one of those long time comings. Most of my life is getting on the wrong side of people's and then wanting to be on the right side. And sometimes with social media and people judging to opinions and expectations. And then we meet and we become fast friends. That is the story of today's episode.
What did they think about you before?
Well, they hated me.
Like hated?
My understanding is they were not fond of okay. me and Bachelor Nation.
Okay.
And they are the morning wonderful toast. Women of the Morning Toast.
Very, very funny.
Very funny.
I was dying laughing.
Claudia and Jackie.
Yeah.
Jackie O. But yes, I mean, it was this show with Rachel that kind of opened the doors of peace and harmony,
mm-hmm.
turned into fast friends. Then they were out in LA recording using our studio.
Yeah.
Our studio.
Mm-hmm.
No, we were happy to have them. And they came on the show and we just had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Claudia opened up about some stuff I was kind of surprised by.
Yeah. And I hope you really enjoy it.
Yay. Halloween's tomorrow.
Halloween is tomorrow. We record this obviously a few days before.
Yes.
I'm going to go to a Halloween party this week and I will have gone to it.
Yes. Do you know what you're going to be?
I think I'm going to go as a pilot.
A pilot?
You know, because...
Like a stripper pilot?
No, more like a guy who might be the bachelor pilot.
Oh, God, really?
Listen, it's low-hanging fruit. It's also a very easy gift. I mean, a costume to do.
Yeah.
Like, I went on Amazon and I bought, like, the pilot.
Oh, wait, you already bought it?
Yeah, it should show up today. We'll see how it turns out and see how it looks.
Did you tell Pete that you were going to do
He's off
that?
The grid right now.
Oh, right.
I've been told that we kind of have a similar resemblance, and I'm wondering if I style my hair like Pete, I trim my beard. He's got some facial hair going on the show. He's filming. You see some pics of him growing a little
okay.
bit of a beard. I'm going to see if the Pete the Pilot costume works.
Okay.
It's low-hanging fruit. Do you think I need a rose?
Oh, God. I'm just shocked you want to do this. Usually you want to distance yourself from The Bachelor.
True, but this is like kind of fun. And the party I'm going to, I feel like it might be a bit of a hit.
Maybe you just need a windmill, something windmill to add on.
Ooh.
There you go. Or you could just keep asking women to come back to your windmill.
That's a little aggro. Yeah.
What about a Band-Aid? I heard he got...
Should I put a Band-Aid on my forehead?
You definitely need a Band-Aid.
Probably. I'm curious. If I do it right, I feel like I could perform well on Instagram.
Is it Delta or is it just generic?
He works for Delta. But the pin? Just
yeah.
Generic.
Oh, bummer. Yeah. What party are you going to?
It's just a party. It's just a party I was invited
Profile?
High-powered Halloween party.
That's fun. I'm going as a squirrel. I always go as a squirrel because I always babysit on Halloween, and it's actually really fun.
It's like a onesie?
It's the tail inflates. It's like an actually really good costume.
Have you ever done the sexy costume?
No, you know, never. And I have tried to flirt in the squirrel costume and got nowhere.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I find it be really charming when a woman dressed not sexy.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I will certainly draw my eyes to the hot nurse, but I'm very attracted and intrigued, more importantly intrigued by the not sexy costume.
Well, no one else at the party last year felt like you did.
I mean, it's hard to want to hit on the witch that really went all out to look like, say, the Wicked Witch of the West, because I don't know what you actually look like and you actually look scary. But if it's like the cute squirrel, if you go cute rather than sexy,
mm-hmm.
I think that I'm intrigued.
Okay.
I will notice you at a party more than I will notice the sexy nurse.
Well, there you go, folks. You heard it.
Just a thought. So if you're going to a Halloween party tomorrow, maybe call an audible.
Call in what?
An audible.
What's that?
Oh, it's a football term. I'm sorry. You
lost me completely.
You changed the play at the line of scrimmage at the last minute, given what the defense shows you.
Oh.
And then you have an alternative thing that might perform better than you had originally thought.
Mm.
Inaudible.
Yeah. Inaudible. Wow.
Yeah, I'm kind of over the
what?
You know, the sexy costume is the girl you want to take home, but not take to mom, so to speak.
Is that what we're looking for on Halloween?
I mean, hey, I don't know. Let's get to it. The Morning Toast Women, fun episode for all you toasters tuning in, as I know I'm sure you are.
Haven't a lot of toasters. Listeners,
and what a dedicated fan base. Come back and check us out.
Yeah.
You know, I say this to sometimes when we do episodes for people I know you're tuning in for our guests, and I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah.
It's like the priest on Easter Sunday at Catholic Mass when, you know, I grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
Come back other Sundays during the year. We're doing some great things. Check us out on Mondays. We do a lot of dating and relationship questions. People tend to enjoy
them. We don't talk as fast as them.
Do they talk fast?
You didn't notice that? I feel like they talk so fast.
Easy now. Toasters are very...
In a good way. Okay. Like, I'm like always on my toes.
All right. Because those toasters are very protective.
I know.
Of their hosts. It's a great episode. I really enjoyed hanging out with both Claudia and Jackie. I hope you guys enjoy it too. And wait no longer. The Morning Toast.
Toast on the file. Just come with me.
We're supposed to come in together.
Toast on the file, but I'm bum. Toast on the file.
Toast on the file. Hey, toast on the file. Toast on the file.
This is great.
This is hard.
Toast,
I'm sorry.
On the file.
You know what? We try to do this all in the very beginning without any practice.
It shouldn't be so hard.
I really appreciate it.
It's just like talent. Like when your pitch is so perfect, like you just want to put only the best stuff out there. And I'm ashamed to have been a part of that. I'm not going to lie.
I just appreciate the effort. Everyone, Claudia and Jackie, Ashra.
Nobody
of
clapped.
The Morning Toast.
Wow.
Margo, clap.
That's good.
Are on my podcast.
In you have LA. Been on our podcast so many times. We are honored to be here.
And I am honored to have you. It is not without asking you guys to come. So just, it's not as if.
We would have asked anyway.
It's only a matter of us being in LA.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, yes.
So, we're never here.
We're not shy. We would have asked.
Thanks for coming, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
I know we've talked a lot about on your show about the journey that we've all come to. It all really did start on this podcast.
It did in this room.
In this room with Rachel Lindsay.
Oh yes, love her.
Who brought you guys up, yep. and gave you guys a lot of props, and I just kind of meekly was like, oh.
When we heard
I really
it,
think they like me very much.
When we
much.
Heard it, like we had a pit in our stomach that dropped when you started to talk about us. We're like, oh, now he's finally going to lay into us after all the things
it's
we've
coming.
Said. Yeah, and you were so mature about it, and I was like, damn. How could we hate someone like that who's obviously so kind and mature and like not petty?
And not petty like us. Like you had the opportunity to slam us and had every reason to and you didn't. And like we learned so much in that moment.
It's so true.
Like truly, like you don't always have to say something nasty about someone. Right. And Nick Viall's a really great guy.
And then
two things we learned.
No, and then three things, because what you would think about someone you watch on TV is not how they actually are. So like just based on what we knew about you from being the Bachelor and quote unquote being the villain, like you would have responded in a negative way, but you didn't. So it's like maybe he's not what he seems like on ABC.
Or option four, you don't know what we said about you.
Wait, or option five, you have no idea who we are.
Option four, I don't know most of what you said.
Better this
but
way.
I think it's better. Yes.
I only assume.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think you know the gist.
I'm not. Yeah. I'm
gisty.
I don't think it would change. I could go back and listen and be like, okay.
If it makes you feel better, if it makes you feel better, we were really commenting on the Nick Viall ABC was showing us and not the Nick Viall that we now have known to like grow and love, you know?
But, I mean, the only thing I'm going to object to is that I understand the Andy and Caitlin narratives, but I thought, again, I thought Paradise Nick was great.
It's
great.
Jen Savnik that cut us the deepest.
Told me that on your show. Mm-hmm. I mean, wow.
We were moving in a positive direction until you broke Jen Sav's heart.
Jen Sav is fine.
Alpha female.
Oh. Jen Sav is fine, but we weren't.
We weren't, yeah.
That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
So you don't like it when hot girls get dumped?
No, it appeared like you dumped her when nothing was wrong just to be the Bachelor.
Yeah, it appeared that way. We know now that that's not the truth, but to the untrained eye, which is what we were,
everything
that's
was
what
perfect.
It appeared.
They didn't do me any solids that way because they announced me before I broke up
right.
with Jen, which you had it just like subconsciously mm-hmm. made it feel like.
So it looked like Elon Gale whispered to you on the beach, like, hey, you want to be the Bachelor? Break up with Jen. Okay.
Yeah, definitely not how it went.
Okay.
But anyways, I'm glad either way we've come full circle.
We really
it's great to have you guys on. I've always been very fascinated with you women, and I thought it might be interesting. I don't know how much you guys talk about the origin story of how it all came to be, how the Morning Toast, a very successful podcast, came to be. you guys have the diest, hardest of fans.
They're legit.
Toaster strong.
Don't cross them.
I'm envious. I think it's wild. You've, in a somewhat healthy way, created a bit of a cultish following.
Yeah, we don't mind the word cult. We're trying to destigmatize. I did just watch the Eat Your Hollywood Story on Nexium, and there was a cult leader on there, and he was like describing what a cult is, and I was like, oh, that's us. Like, we have charismatic leaders, and we make people feel safe.
Yeah.
But then we don't brand them or like rape them either.
Yeah. It's like we're the reason like you get involved in a cult. It's like that, you know, feeling of community and like steamy vibes is what we call it. But then we don't like turn around on you and brand you.
What are steamy vibes?
Oh,
so we refer to ourselves as the Steens, and honestly,
our family.
Just like, don't ask why, it's like too long winded.
This is a long winded podcast.
Yeah, so that's true. Actually, steamy has come to mean just like all things that we feel like we embody and we appreciate, which is just like lighthearted happiness, positivity, like good music, a margarita on the dance floor. Like, that's a steamy vibe.
Yeah.
And so we try and curate steamy vibes only.
Oh. And everywhere we go. I love it.
They really do follow us around, this nasty steamy vibes.
Since we have consummated our friendship, I can't tell
consummated,
you.
Consummated, hello. Is it my wedding night?
Is that maybe.
Consummated.
Consummated always implies sex.
Unfortunately, that is the word to use in this situation. Like,
is it right?
No, it doesn't.
I'll look it up.
I guess now we got to have sex. This is turning into a different kind of podcast.
What a win. I am constantly approached by people who emphatically will call themselves toasters.
Toasters in the wild.
Not like I listen to the toast and I'm a toaster, as if you have indeed branded them.
It's an identity.
And I'm just like, that is amazing. I mean, and then proudly too, like an army of people where like they say it as if at any moment, listen, I'm a fan of you because they like me, but if I got a text that said I need to murder you in this moment, I would fucking do it, just so you know.
But they'll never get that text.
No, they never would.
That's true.
Yeah, like you, exactly. You're not following through. But I'm just saying, I can see the passion in their eyes. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
I'm impressed. I think it's good. How did it all start? I mean, I know Girl with No Job is the first time I became aware of your existence.
Yeah, I had been influencing.
Through your shaming of me.
Yes, that was me. I had been influencing through college, and by the time I graduated.
Influencing?
Yes, it is a full-time job. And
I love how she embraces it.
Most people don't like that.
What else would you call it? What else would you call it? Influencing. And I started in college, and then by the time I graduated, I was like making enough money that I didn't find it necessary to get like an actual job. And then when I just started trying things out, like I started to DJ, like I tried to do things that would like set me apart, make me money, and like further my career into whatever this landscape was turning into.
There was like a general influencing playbook. DJ, something else. And you're like, I'll just try one that sticks.
The DJing didn't pan out like in the way that I had hoped that it would. I am not being invited to Ibiza to, you know, rage with Paris Hilton, unfortunately. But life had different plans for me. And I started a podcast called Girl with a Podcast that was hosted by myself in my apartment. And it was absolutely awful. Like, I cannot believe people like ever listened to it. But
what was it about?
It was about like whatever I could get my hands on. It was a lot of reality show recaps, a lot of Bachelor stuff, Real Housewives stuff, like life, you know, updates with my husband. I was like engaged at the time. It was not good, and it has been scrubbed from the internet, so don't even try and find it. But I liked podcasting a lot, and at the same time, we had gotten this opportunity. Jackie was working at Oath, which is a Verizon company, and we had gotten this opportunity to
like start our own brand.
They basically gave us budget and was like, do whatever you want, and we had always wanted to be morning show hosts.
We're obsessed with morning shows.
Did you ever see the movie The Morning Glory? Morning Glory?
Yes.
Great movie.
That movie is the reason why we are sitting here today.
We were so inspired by Harrison Ford and Rachel McAdams, and it was just.
I watched it not too long ago.
On a Delta flight?
No, at home. I took an edible. That's how close friends started on my Instagram.
Oh yeah, I'm an honor to be a part of it.
And I was I. Are you not?
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure you are.
I love it.
I'll double check. Plus, I got to add you to my
I'll double check. But I basically reviewed Morning Glory. It's so good. It's one of Harrison Ford's best performances.
I completely agree.
A frittata.
When he's just like, what would the people want? Hey.
In the briefcase? Right. Yeah. Important newsman paper.
When they're reviewing those like promos for the new show, that is so funny. Like me and Jackie used to rewatch that scene over and over. And like that movie really inspired us just like about the impact of daytime television. But when you look at the daytime television landscape today, it's like, as a 25-year-old millennial, do I feel represented at all? And I look at all these shows, and I'm like, no. I think that like the only person who's even remotely close to like the millennial age on daytime television is Meghan McCain. But that show's just not really for me. Like, The View is the scariest place on earth.
And no, nothing against Meghan McCain. If she's your voice, then you're just saying that's the closest one.
I'm talking age. Like, yeah. She's really the youngest person on daytime. And not everyone wants to wake up and talk about politics. I certainly don't. So sometimes it's just nice to have like a fun, lighthearted. That's what like the Steenie Vibes are. Just like fun. Like our listeners are from all over the world. And if you ever threw in like a hot button issue, like they would not agree on a single thing. Like everyone has totally different life experiences. But that's what makes the show fun. It's like you don't have to get that deep.
Yeah, there's something for everyone.
When you say you were influencing in college, what were you doing?
So I was like building my following on Instagram. I was working with a lot of brands, like going to different events.
Like posting pictures of yourself?
No, posting, like I was doing blog content, like memes, just anything that would like make me money, grow my audience, like further my career.
Mm. Humor account.
Yeah.
That's great. And so then The Morning Glory, that's such a great.
It's such a good movie.
Reference. It is. It's so good.
It's so
Harrison
good.
Ford's best work.
I couldn't agree more. Indiana who?
Pardon me?
Indiana who?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, well, that was fine, but his humor in that, its subtlety. It's yep. So...
It's such an underrated movie, and if you're watching this and you haven't seen it.
Like... Rachel McAdams. Also,
yeah, of course. Beautiful. Wonderful.
It's a strong one. And then, what's his name?
That guy.
Jeff Goldblum, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, he's the boss. Yeah.
He's the boss.
And then her love interest is like the hottest man alive, who played the doctor in that episode of Girls that was highly unrealistic, Patrick Wilson.
Yes.
Understated hot guy, yeah.
Yeah, he just plays like a handsome guy in every movie, and you're like, who is that guy? He should be more famous. And then he never gets more famous.
Handsome, respectable guy.
Not offensive, but like...
Mature.
I would, yeah.
Yeah.
He would... Okay, so then you started The Morning Toast.
Yes.
It's been a big hit, and then it's... You guys are just killing
We've
it.
We've just been riding the wave of the morning show that we wish to see in the world. Yeah, so we started just like live streaming on Facebook, actually, which we don't even do now, and then people were asking for it as a podcast, which was an easy transition for us, and now we're predominantly a podcast. We stream live on YouTube. So we're just like wherever the internet takes us, we're there.
We're about to be on TikTok, you know?
No. That's where we draw the line.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
That worried me because I find that to be like, I'm done.
Like it's
over for me.
It's real
and it's TikTok.
It's cool, but like I'm officially
it's not for everyone.
Old.
Yeah. And I don't think there's anything really like sadder than like older people like trying to be on TikTok, mm-hmm. like dancing with their kids.
That's why.
Like Matt Lauer.
Yeah.
Is Matt Lauer?
He was in his daughter's TikTok video just days before Ronan Farrow's book excerpt came out, and now the video's mysteriously disappeared.
That's not a great look.
No.
Interesting transition. I wasn't expecting to go into this quite yet.
Okay.
But Matt Lauer,
yeah,
obviously has been in the news for sexual misconduct.
Not good.
You've been outspoken about some of the experiences that you've had with one
celebrity,
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Mr. Jr.
Not so Gooding.
Yeah.
Not so Gooding.
Honestly, it's so crazy that like people are talking about it now because this kind of incident happened to me in high school, and like everyone in my high school knew about it because like so many of the kids in my grade were with me, and like it's just been like a story that I tell people all the time, and nobody has really cared enough to like make it a big deal until he did it to someone else, and she just had like a very normal reaction and called the police, which is like I guess what you're supposed to do. And now it's like more people are stepping forward and people are kind of picking up on podcast episodes or like different mm-hmm. radio shows that I've done where I spoke about it. And it's just, I cannot believe like how big of a story it turned into. Like that's the most press I've ever gotten. And it's honestly not really what I wanted to be known for. But yeah, I actually saw him recently, like after the big news story came out about him, and then everyone started picking up old podcast episodes of mine. I ran into him in the Hamptons at a party, and he was just like sitting there, and like it was actually so crazy. Like it was at the height of the press, and he seemed completely unaffected by it. He was like surrounded by a million girls running around the party. He looked pretty drunk. It was so crazy. Like I felt shook to like be in his presence. It was like, it was overwhelming.
Oh no.
Oh, it was almost scary. I can only imagine.
Well, when someone is like so famous and like has such a bigger, like he's like so wealthy, so well, like it's just, it is intimidating. But like, I was more so like, you know, it's so crazy. I'm sitting 2 feet from you and you have no idea who I am. Yet you stuck your finger on my butt in a club 10 years ago, you know? No, it's true.
Yeah. I remember when it came out, and then I remember reading some of your comments online. And listen, you are an outspoken person. You guys, both of you, you know, that's part of your charm to kind of say what's on your mind. And you guys will admit sometimes it's like, my bad.
No, sometimes you can fuck it up. But when your job is talking
sure.
for minimum 6 hours a week, like sometimes totally. Something bad slips.
My point of only saying that is, as much as you guys have your diehard fans, you also have your critics.
Yeah.
And so when that came out, I was reading some stuff, and obviously that day wasn't filled with overwhelming support.
No.
It was about 50-50.
It was 50-50.
That's a lot of criticism.
Yeah.
Especially with something that's so personal.
Right. And I expected Twitter's such a dark place, and you could be the biggest philanthropist humanitarian in the world, and someone on Twitter would still have something nasty to say about you. So I didn't really give a lot of legs to like people on Twitter being like, oh, she's lying for money. Like, I don't care. Like, that's not true. And I'm used to like the negativity on Twitter. But what I found to be really shocking was like the kind of undertones in a lot of the media articles written about me was like so disparaging, and a lot of it was like written by women, which was even more shocking.
And even the photos that they use, it's just so heavy-handed. Like, he's in a suit looking like a professor,
he's wearing glasses like a librarian,
and they have like a one candid shot of you where you're like
in the middle of a video speaking with a double chin and like my nostrils are flared.
There's
a lot of power. Old photo too.
There's a lot of power in the photos that publications choose.
Look at the ones they're using today. He looks like really tired and like sad.
He's in
and
a suit.
Guilty.
Yeah.
But look at his face.
No, but you want to feel badly for him.
Those still shots. Yeah. I mean, again, I've never experienced anything like that. It's all been vanity on my end. But like, you can totally tell when they're writing a story about you.
Whose side they're on.
Whose side, or maybe they're not even on a side, but they're not necessarily trying to make you look great.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's a million pictures out there of me, and you're always you guys will pick this one where like, I'm blinking, or I look smug,
right?
Or I look, you know, like God only knows.
Yeah,
it's just but back to your situation. I mean, how did you get through that? I mean, in the sense that, like, we're in a time where people are encouraged to try to come forward,
mm-hmm.
right? You do,
mm-hmm.
And you know, you have your personality, you're outspoken, you lead with humor.
Yep.
Regardless of what happens in your life, the little bit I know about you, you seem to try to, you know, make light of what sometimes is a difficult thing to talk about. And
totally.
Then that opens you up to criticism, like, oh, you're making jokes. And
right.
yet, how did that make you feel when you come out and you do this thing, and then you have people, and it seems like even women questioning you, judging you, you know, doing all these things. I mean, that must have been really tough.
Yeah, I don't really know how it made me feel. I was just, it was more like a shock being like, I never thought, like, I know I get criticism for a lot of stuff that I expect to get criticism for. Like, if I say something that's unpopular or kind of ignorant, like, I know when my backlash is deserved. But I was just more shocked at, like, the different angles people were looking at it from, like, me trying to exploit Cuba Gooding Jr. for money. Like, I never spoke to him. I don't want money from him. Like, I would literally rather die than take a dollar from him. Like, I was just sharing my experience because a lot of people were like, this girl's lying. And if you watch a video, like, it's kind of blurry. Like, no, it's definitely not. She's definitely not lying because A, it happened to me, and B, just because I've been so outspoken about it, like in the last, you know, 2 years being on the road doing meet and greets, like I have had countless people tell me the exact same thing that happened to them, or even more graphic. Like, he kissed me and I literally was just walking by him. He grabbed me and kissed me. Some girl was like, he grabbed my vagina. Like so many different stories. That's how I know this girl's not lying. So it was more of a shock factor than anything else, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, I just think it's great that you were able to at least speak your truth, and it's not always easy to do. And do you feel like, you know, when you tell the story, you've been outspoken with your audience, that you're giving more people, like you said, whether it's Cuba Gooding Jr. or just some guy down the street, when it's happening out there to women, and we still have a culture where people feel unsafe to come forward for this very thing.
And I think when the person is like a well-known rich celebrity, it makes it even harder because nobody wants to turn on, you know, an American hero, Snow Dogs, the guy from Snow Dogs, like no one wants to turn on them. So it makes it really much harder.
A friend told me not too long ago, and it really stuck with me. And he said, in 2019, people don't believe the facts. They believe who they like more.
Yep.
It's a popularity contest these days, especially with social media. And so sometimes it becomes harder and harder to come out and say something for fear of, especially to that person, where you know that they might have a following or supporters. And it's just like, I could literally show a video and people will find ways to discredit it.
Right.
And it can be.
And I didn't say it like for any reason. Like I didn't want people to take my side. Like I just said it because it's what happened. And I've been talking about it for years. You could ask any of the kids I went to high school with. Like it was the craziest night. I was like, who the fuck just put their finger on my butt? And that's there's no motive behind why I said what I said. I only said it because it's fucking true. Okay.
Yeah. No. I've over the years, I've gone on dates with people and gotten to know them, and some of them admitted things that have happened to me when they were young, and it's sometimes shocking. And in almost all these cases, and there's been a handful, they didn't tell anyone. They just kept it quiet.
And part of the reason I didn't like run and tell the police is like, first of all, the time, like this was, I don't know, like maybe 8 years ago, like times were so different. Like, I don't know if I necessarily knew what sexual assault was or like that was considered sexual assault. Like I only knew about sexual assault, like what I saw on Degrassi. You know what I mean? Like that's really how I knew. So it was different times. And I was also a 16-year-old in a club and I wasn't about to like call the police and like incriminate myself. I was more focused on like, I'm going to get in trouble. Like I didn't tell anyone.
My fake ID taken away.
Yeah, like everyone to get grounded because I'm in a club drinking alcohol. So like, and that's kind of what people fixated on. Like what kind of degenerate goes to a club at 16? Like, sorry, I was cool. Okay. I was cool. And I went to clubs and had a great fucking time. And like that, it's just so, it's nuts what people like latch on to, you know?
Totally.
Are you involved in the court proceedings?
No. I mean, I have, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I have no intention with telling people other than to like, say, like, it's just
true. To corroborate
this girl's story. I'm not trying to file charges. Like, I don't even know what the statute of limitations are. Like, I don't even know how I would prove it, but I'm just saying it happened.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's an interesting point, too, that I know someone who knows him, and it's totally separate than you guys coming on the show. It came up. And I was, and then my friend who's like, oh, this girl's lying, you know?
Me?
The accuser.
Get rid of that friend.
I was like, who fucking?
I mean,
get rid of that friend.
Again, she's more of an acquaintance. She's an acquaintance.
Oh, now you're like, take a step back from her.
I'm just like, what?
She's an acquaintance.
Anyways, I'm not trying to get into it, but like, she knows him or whatever, and I just, and again, I can't. I'm sure she's friends with him. I don't know her reasoning, but I just said, well, like, I sent her, it was when he got accused again. I said, like, there's a bunch of stuff out there. My only point of bringing this up is you coming out and telling your story. For only reason to tell your story is because of the girl who actually is putting her face in it and accusing it.
And she's brave.
She's being told she's a liar by all these other people. And my response to her was like, well, listen, I have a friend who this happened to. There's clearly many more. I mean, listen, I understand that sometimes people can lie. Yeah. But like in these situations where you have all these victims speaking up
versus one guy's word being like, I remember.
So for you to say it, I think is a great thing in a sense that like, if your only reason is to show support
and
for
it
this
helps.
Person. Yes.
Yeah.
So anyways, let's make it lighter.
Okay.
You guys are both married and you're both young.
Yes.
Well, how old are you?
I am 26 for the next 3 weeks.
Nice. Congratulations.
I'm 25.
You're 25. So relatively still young women married. We talk a lot about on this show, especially with questions from Nick about age and where it, how it plays a role in your perspective. I sometimes get accused of age shaming.
Do you?
In which direction?
About the youth.
The youth is.
I'm older, and so like it's just more, and it's more like, hey, listen, when I was this age, I did this, and this, and I have a little bit more perspective now, you know.
But you know what? You do have some years on us. Like, I hate when people like you're 25 and they're 26. They're like, oh, when I was your age, I was ignorant. Like, well, bitch,
wasn't there? I mean, there was a time. I think it was Ben's season when Olivia was age shaming Emily,
and they were the same age.
Yeah. Well, you're just young. You don't really know any better. Right. Like their age. Sure. But at the same time, there are, you know, exceptions to rules. And just because you are older doesn't mean you have perspective or maturity. And I guess what I'm saying is you guys are so damn accomplished at such a young age. You have like, you guys seem like you're good to go. Like your lives are set. You got your husbands. By you the have way, your media I, empire.
We appreciate you saying that because that is like the fake image we put forth on social media. So we really appreciate
you. So tell me the real mess that is your life.
Everyone has a mess. Just because it looks like something doesn't mean that it is. And that's like the golden rule of social media. Like, don't believe what you see. Mm-hmm. But being married is the shit.
Like, it is. Like overall, right. I highly recommend it. But it is like hard, you know.
Yeah, relationships are hard.
You gotta make it work, and it's not like, you know, there's another person and weaving two lives together.
Two careers.
Isn't always easy, but generally speaking, I would highly recommend it to anyone. It's like it feels like you can finally just relax. Breathe.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How long were you guys dating your respective husbands before you got engaged/married?
A long time. We were dating for like 4 years. Okay. Through college, but I wasn't allowed to get engaged while I was still in college. So I graduated in May and we got engaged in June.
Parents didn't let you?
Yeah, and it was also like, there were a couple girls. I went to NYU, so like, there were a lot of girls who like would walk around class with an engagement ring, and like, it was just kind of weird. I didn't want to be that. I felt like it was almost like inappropriate. Like,
you just didn't want to be that girl.
I didn't want to be that girl.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about you?
So I was dating my now husband for 2.5 years before we got engaged, and then we got married a year later. So we're been together total almost 4 years.
Do you got? I mean, so your husband, was he your first love?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I was 18.
Interesting.
I'm a one woman man. I've only had sex with one person.
Wow.
And I'm not like a
not even intentional.
I'm not like a
no I get
a nerd. Just, like, not that that's nerdy. It's cool. You could like, if you're cool,
it's really
cool.
I like how on podcast we'll say things like, hold on, backtrack. Who am I apologizing for right off the bat?
No, because like, I not that it's like lame, it's not lame or anything, but there's like all like the conversations around Colton, him being a virgin, like I thought that was so rude. Like, you can not like Colton for other reasons, but like, I think it's kind of nice that he's not out here like fucking a million girls and carrying all these kinds of venereal diseases. And I thought like the conversations around like him being a loser for that were like really inappropriate. Right. So that's not what I wanted to like to convey. But what I meant was I didn't set out being like, I'm saving myself for marriage. I was 18 when I lost my virginity, and it just so happened I married him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever get worried or sometimes do you ever get the itch about like, oh, what else is out there, so to speak? Not necessarily for sex, but just the temptation of,
well, for sex, there's a hot guy. The idea of being naked in front of someone like makes me want to die. So like, I found one person who like loves me for me, and I don't want to get naked in front of anyone else ever again. Like, I don't even want to go to the beach. So I'm really happy like not ever having to have sex with anyone. And Ben is everything. Like, I find that people think like when you get married, like you can never talk to a man again. Like, you can talk to whoever you want. Like, you can get to know people, have interesting conversations with people. Just don't go home and fuck them. And I'm cool with that.
That's
it works for you.
Yeah, very much
what
so.
What about you, Jackie?
So I like dated in college and stuff, but this was like my first real serious relationship. And like, once we started dating, it was just like, oh, we're getting married. Like, you just know, as opposed to like when you're always on edge with someone and you feel like you can't be yourself. I feel like I dated, not even dated, because they like wouldn't ever like admit that they dated me, you know? Like, they'd be like, we're not exclusive. What do you mean? I was in so many, like,
we just met a year ago.
Well, like, we were literally hooking up, like, I was in college hooking up with someone for one whole year,
right?
Like, how, and we never went on a date. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So
that's so college.
Did you ever try though?
Yeah.
Or were you like, just kind of cool, the cool chick?
I wanted to be cool for sure, but I definitely tried. And then there was one time when I like put myself out there, which was so hard for me, and I got so shut down, and that was when the year was up, and I finally moved on. Yeah. But no, so being married now, I mean, we met when I was 24, so I feel like I really
had life to live.
Yeah, and I met a lot of different people, and like, so many people like suck so hard, and so many guys just like are assholes because they think that's how they're supposed to act. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't even mean it. They're just like, oh, this is what we do.
Yeah, but also there are like loser girls who like make boys think that that's how they should act. And I blame those girls. I'm sorry.
It's a little bit of both. I mean, it's definitely how guys get raised and how they think they should act. And then, yeah, sometimes they are egged on by women who
like mean guys.
Or will emasculate them for not being macho enough, or not, women calling guys pussies, that happens.
We're trying to destigmatize the word pussy.
Yeah.
We had a whole podcast.
We had a whole podcast episode about it. You would die if you heard.
We grew up where now I think of the word pussy and it's like porn, like give me that pussy. But but we grew up using the word pussy as like a very sweet, endearing, like maternal term,
like a childish term for a vagina.
Which is
insane,
like vajayjay, like pussy, like
it like was shmushky,
shmushky pussy. Yeah. So. We were shocked to grow up and
learn. You guys have no brothers, right?
No.
Okay.
And we spoke about this on our podcast very recently, and we were like, there's probably some people out there who have the same experience, like not nobody. One person. So we are aware that this is so strange.
The word pussy like has the ability to be so sweet and like endearing, and I think that porn like ruined it. So we're trying to take back the pussy, okay?
Okay.
We are. Even though like it hurts coming out, like you're on a podcast, it's like, what is she saying?
There's every time you've said it, I've slightly been like, yeah.
It's a shocking word.
Spooky.
But for us, like it wasn't ever shocking. We got to take it back.
No, but then it was. But we used to say growing up, and I remember then someone said it to me like, whoa, that's like a really, that's like a perverse word. Like you shouldn't use it the way that you are. And then after that, I was shamed into not using it anymore until now.
Well, I mean, you guys aren't wrong in the sense that, listen, the word was taken and made into something, and that's what it is. So, I mean, you're probably not going to change it.
No, we're not. It's worth starting the conversation.
I don't want to die on this hill.
Yeah. It's definitely not a vine to die on, for sure.
Not at all.
But yes, it was totally turned into that, but I digress.
Yeah.
As young women who are married and excited about marriage, we do get a lot of questions from people who talk about the spark, losing the spark, the excitement, years into marriage or even 2 years into marriage. I loved how you talked about just because you're married doesn't mean you can't have fun, have your independence, do things. But yet so many people seem to equate getting married to the end. Like, well, I'm just going to give up on life. My wardrobe is a healthy dose of sweatpants and t-shirts and stains. I don't need to work out. You're not allowed to talk to anyone else. You can't have friends of the opposite sex. Now, there's variables in all these things. You know, the devil's in the details.
And it depends on who you're married to.
Sure. But is this a discussion that you guys had? Did you guys just get lucky with your husbands? Like, what are you guys doing? Because inevitably, in 5 or 7 years, there will be a rather regularity to your relationships. Yeah. And what are you guys doing already to kind of keep it fun and interesting, other than the fact that you guys are obviously spunky and fun and interesting?
First of all, I feel like it's also case by case on the type of person that you marry. Like, some people are really like scared by the idea of like regularity and comfort. And like, I live for regularity.
Regularity.
Especially like given the work that I do, like I travel so much and spend so much time away from home that it makes those regular moments like so special. Like, I can't believe anyone would not like this, you know? Yeah. But I guess that's just a benefit of like having to travel a lot and being on tour. Like, it makes the moments at home like that would seem boring and regular so special and like that's unique, and I can't get enough of it. Not to say that in order to have a good marriage, you have to spend time away from home, but like, it is important to have like lives. Like, I think a lot of people get married and they lose their friends and they like think that they can't talk. If you had any friends who were guys, like you can never talk to them again. Well, my best friend world Abe is a guy, like, and actually you look just like him. So I don't know, it's like important to have your own thing going on and not be like so afraid of being comfortable. Like, why is that bad?
But being bored is
sweatpants.
Being bored is so underrated, I feel.
Yeah.
You think being bored is underrated? Okay, hold on 1 second before we dive into that, but I do want to get back to something you said, in that I think it's there is definitely a difference between you don't go out of your way to you don't go out of your way to spend time apart. I mean, I guess sometimes maybe you need to.
A girl's weekend.
If you do have time apart, it's nothing to not embrace or have fun.
Yep.
You know, whatever your situation is. Like, even if you're not doing tours, you are spending time away. Like,
see your family, see your friends. Like, people are busy. You don't have to
miss
stop doing
and
stuff.
Enjoy missing someone rather than like,
you know what they say about absence?
Fighting makes the heart grow stronger.
Or out of sight, out of mind.
Boredom is underrated. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. I'm curious what you mean by that. We talk a lot about boredom on the show in the sense that, like, we do in my Q&A with questions, like, people date in, mm-hmm. calling in, and people ask me, like, well, why are you good at asking them? And I just say, well, almost every question comes down to ego or boredom. Like, that's usually the answer to everyone's dating question. It's like they're either driven by their ego and trying to do something that their ego is telling them they need to validate themselves, mm-hmm. or they're just probably bored.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they're doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, boredom in the sense that our brain actually prefers scientifically pain to boredom.
Interesting.
In the sense that our brain seeks stimulation.
Right.
Pain is a type of stimulation.
Yeah.
Boredom is by definition no stimulation in the scientific right. sense. But yet you were an advocate of yeah. boredom. In what way? I'm curious.
Like, I just think it's underappreciated. And I feel like when you have really stressful times, it makes you appreciate the times when things are quiet.
And there's nothing on your mind.
So until you have like a stressful situation, you won't appreciate being bored. But mm-hmm. once you're over that hill, I think you get to appreciate those quieter moments.
Yeah.
You know, and especially like my husband and I, we like each work and we have busy full lives. So when we are together, we just like appreciate the quietness and just like the simplicity of being together.
That's great. But there's definitely a skill there. I'm curious, do you know how you do that? Because I think there's a lot of people, and I would include myself, that even in the situations, I would say, oh my God, I'm not stressed about this and this is cool. But then when it happens, then I'm anxious.
You know,
I'm anxious because I don't have anything going on, or I feel like unsettled.
And also, especially in this industry, like when you are bored and like you're not working, you're like, oh my God, I'm turning irrelevant. Like I need to release it. I have that anxiety too. And I feel
so I'm curious as how do you go about that? It's really neat.
My like philosophy in life. I feel like so many times people get so and not that ambition is a bad thing whatsoever, but people get so eager to be so much more than they are, when it's like, if you take a step back and look at your life, like you're doing great. Like be happy with what you have, because you might not have it forever.
Right.
So I feel like when it comes to career, and I've always had that mentality where it's like, everyone wants more and more and more. What am I going to be doing next? Like, I love what I'm doing now. I want to enjoy what I'm doing now, because there's no guarantee I'm going to be able to do it forever.
That's a brilliant way of thinking, but you are unique in that.
I know that I'm unique in that, and I always have, and it's so like great. The movie, it's like the movie The Greatest Showman. Have you seen it? It's an incredible film, but he gets carried away with himself a little bit when it's like what you had at that time. Like he wants to go on tour with Jenny Lind and he mortgages his house and it's a beautiful home. And it's like, you had a beautiful home and a wonderful show. Like, can't that be enough sometimes?
Right. You know, he needed to capture the rich people.
Right. But yeah, exactly. He didn't like that society, you know, what didn't think too fond of him. Like, we're disgraced queens over here. Right. We love it. Like,
we love it.
You just have to sometimes know where you are and like appreciate it and be happy with it.
I think that's great, and I say that knowing that it's not a strength of mine.
Me neither.
I'm just like, oh God, it sounds so great.
It sounds so great. If you ever have a problem, you just gotta go to Jackie. She's the wisest person on planet Earth.
It's very level-headedness of you.
Thank you. And
I think it's set in a time where I'm particularly bad at it. I think it's my personality, but I think society in general is like, we're ingrained. We have so much access to see what we're mm-hmm. not doing.
You're
we have
always
so
much looking at other people.
Access to compare ourselves to literally anything we want to compare ourselves to. So to feel settled and secure with what you're doing is becoming a harder thing to do.
I totally agree. And then also on the flip side, you border on complacency a little bit. So mm-hmm. I think that's something like that would be what I have to, you know, work on sometimes. But everyone has, life is a balance.
How are you guys similar and different? I see obviously some similarities and some differences, and it seems as though you guys, your whole family, complement each other quite well.
It's really true.
Well, we're different because I'm dumb and Jackie's smart. Like, it's so crazy. Like, we run a business together, and like I'll come up with an idea, and I'm like, Jackie, we should do this. And Jackie's like, well, here's why we shouldn't do it. And she like predicts the future, and she's never been wrong. And it's so crazy. It's actually really nice. And I'm sure it's a lot of pressure for you, but like, it's nice to run a business and like be related to someone who just can, she's like Raven Baxter. Like, she can see the future and she knows what's right for us. And she knows like when to stand her ground and when to give in. Like, it's so crazy. Like, I attribute all the success of the show just to Jackie's like level-headedness and ability to like literally see the future. I can't say it in another word. It's crazy.
You're clearly coming
brings
up
brings multitude
the energy
multitude
the ideas.
Of talents to the show.
Oh, well, of course.
She's just kind of keeping a leash on you, so to speak. She's honing in the brilliance of Claudia. I mean, like, that's great.
She thanks does for the keep idea. A leash.
As far as the business goes, we always say, like, Claudia is like this creative, like energetic, like, I don't know, left brain, right brain, but she's one of the brains. And I'm like HR and standards. And I'm like, this is what we have to do by quarterly end of year earnings, and we will get where we need to go in order for you compliance. To continue. I'm compliance.
Yeah you're the think tank that, yeah.
But to people who don't know us very well, we are like twins. You know, we talk the same, we love the same things.
We've had the same life experience. Yeah, pretty
so
much.
We're so similar. But then once you get to know us, you realize like how different we are. But at the end of the day, like we're all so
like,
similar.
Jackie's a refined like lady, and I'm a beast. So, did you ever watch Desperate Housewives?
I've seen it.
So like Jackie's a Brie Van Camp, okay. And I'm much more of a Lynette.
Oh, are you?
Unfortunately.
I love all your references are like 2000s.
Yeah, well, 2000s was the golden age of television.
It was.
And Desperate Housewives was gone too soon.
This is a bit outdated when this is going to, episode's going to drop. Okay. But this morning, Jennifer Aniston.
Joined Instagram.
Which one of you hates Friends?
Hey. Jackie.
And you love Friends?
Yes, I have taste, yes.
I don't hate Friends by any stretch, but it's not amazing. As you would describe.
I literally am about to get up from this couch. I'm not getting into this. Seriously.
We spoke about Friends.
My full-time job is defending Friends. And it's like, sorry, like you don't know true comedy. And I'm seriously, I'm not going to do it.
It's amazing.
Do you want me to walk off? Seriously?
It's amazing. It's amazing. Double cam. I'm just more of a Seinfeld guy.
Oh, God.
Have you seen that tweet that's been going around about the person who wants to win the lottery so that they can buy the rights to Friends and take out all the laugh tracks and put it back up so people can see how unfunny it is? That's my kind of guy. That's my kind of guy.
I appreciate the, yes, I like, whether he's right or wrong, I like the thought process.
It's not even that. I want to just take out the laugh track so that maybe I have a chance at enjoying it because I find that laughing, I know it's not a track, it's a live audience where they like beat you into clapping.
Claudia is truly annoyed.
It's honestly, it's like, this is how I feel about having conversations about Taylor Swift. Like, I'm not going to sit here and defend why Taylor Swift is the greatest artist, businesswoman alive. Like,
We're huge Taylor Swift
fans. Yeah, it's just like, I find myself in these precarious situations all the time, like having to defend my love of Friends, having to defend my love of Taylor Swift. And like, honestly, I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm at a place in my life where I just don't feel like I have to defend myself, and I'm just not going to. It's exhausting. Like when something's so personal to you, like Friends is so personal to me. Like I feel like I have such bad anxiety. I put Friends on, like it calms me down. Taylor Swift is like my icon. Like I just don't feel the need to defend my choices anymore. Okay, my body, my motherfucking choice.
Who? What Friends character are you?
Ooh.
I feel like this is kind of controversial. I'm so glad we're like changing the tide. I feel like I'm
now she's happy. First she's sour.
I feel like I'm sweet. Kind of ready, like a Ross.
Oh.
I'm Ross.
Okay, let me tell you why. And actually, I feel like you'll actually...
I don't love that I'm Ross, but I'm definitely Ross.
So it's like when someone says they love Ross, there's two reactions. Like, ugh. Or like, fuck yeah, like you're a part of the club. And when someone's like, I love Claudia, either they're like, ugh, she sucks. Ignorant. Or they're like, oh my God, she's a fucking tits. I love her show, her
podcast.
I guess
that's how people have responded to me. It's not like, I'm not Joey, where it's just like, oh my God, he's just so not offensive and funny. Yeah. It's just like, okay, he's a one-trick pony who puts spaghetti in the carpet and eats it and wins it.
Right.
But there's like a slow burn to Ross and a charm that's, it sneaks up on you.
Why I feel like I'm a Ross.
He's so earnest.
Is because when people like don't like Ross, they refuse to see like the real charm in him. But if you can watch Friends as completely like, you know, unbiased and look at David Schwimmer, like you will see that David Schwimmer is the best actor on that show. Ross is the most complex character. And like he really makes you laugh the most. And even though he's just not obviously funny like a Phoebe or a Joey, he's probably one of the funniest characters. And that's how I feel about me. It's like, I think I'm amazing, but like it just takes like a special eye to see how amazing I am. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think you're that subtle. I think it's...
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I think it's obvious.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm Ross. Who are you?
I was going to ask you guys, who am I?
Oh, I think you're kind of... You're definitely a Rachel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like pretty.
Oh, thanks.
Pretty, like everyone, you know...
Like well-liked.
I see a little Phoebe, I'll be honest.
Oh, well, like, that's a huge compliment.
Yes, it's a huge compliment.
I was going to say Monica.
Oh my God, how dare you insult my sister
only,
on this podcast.
Okay, clearly you have strong opinions about Monica.
She fucking sucks. If she had died in the first episode, the show would have been better. That's my only critique.
Monica is the taskmaster, and you just described someone who kind of keeps the family in line. So
you know what?
Maybe,
and I take it back.
That's not necessarily Rachel. Rachel has to, like, someone has to convince her to cut her credit card.
Jackie's definitely like, like the you know, the color coded binder kind of gal.
Yeah,
but and someone does have to convince me to cut my credit card.
Yeah,
so
you know, you're actually a hybrid. You are a fusion of Rachel and Monica. Now that I think about it,
I will take it because I don't know what it means.
All the good parts of each, like from Monica, like you're not fun. You're actually very fun. Monica's not fun, and with Rachel, you're not stupid. Like Rachel makes the worst decisions.
Understood. A Carrie Bradshaw.
A Terry Hatcher, Desperate Housewives, Susan moment.
A Serena Vanderwoodson moment.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I also
just
find it...
Just the worst characters in television history.
No, you say it with passion. Passion is very convincing.
We've come to realize that a lot of popular shows, especially ones we liked as a kid, if you go back and watch as an adult, the main character is actually the worst character.
Quite atrocious.
It's very difficult to watch. They have terrible decision-making skills, and you're shocked that you ever liked the show as a kid because like you watch now as an adult seeing like how fucking stupid they are, you know?
Yeah, but that's what's relatable about life is
no vulnerability. I don't find it relatable. I wouldn't make dumb decisions like that. Like Carrie
Bradshaw.
Say
that with hindsight.
That's true.
You wouldn't make dumb decisions like that. I feel like you've made dumb decisions.
Yeah, that's true. But like, okay, fine. You know what? You totally got me there. I'm sorry. Yeah, I take it back.
As we all have. I say that not knowing you.
You weren't on TV.
Right. Like if there were enough people watching.
It's a scripted show. They were reading their lines.
Touche.
I mean, you can say that about me on the reality TV reject.
Right.
You've done okay.
Not reject.
We all are reality TV. I embrace pride. The reality TV star. I'd rather be called a reality TV reject than a reality TV star.
Okay. There's definitely a stigma with the phrase reality TV star. It's being destigmatized. But
it is. We are coming.
You technically have the same job title as Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of us rejects have dated real celebrities.
Right.
And that's, you know, Mike Johnson. Boy, he's
awful. He's out of control.
He's out of control.
Someone has got to tase him. He is nuts.
He's got a little.
Wait, what do you mean?
He asked to have Keke Palmer live on the Today Show yesterday.
Live.
Wait, GMA.
And he was, isn't GMA. He? I thought he was dating.
No, apparently it's over because he said he made a mistake in being so public about it. So then he went on to publicly ask out Keke Palmer on her show at work.
Awful.
Did she say yes?
No.
No, she was like cringing so hard.
It was so painful.
She's a class act. Like she would never.
Really feeling himself.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to walk. And now they're running. They're sprinting.
They're going nuts.
People give credit to Wells and Sarah for being like the first couple to kind of, you know, lean into like traditional celebrity. But people really don't give proper credit because you were out here, you know, dating January Jones before anyone else.
Betty Draper. Now
Rachel Bilson. Like really? You're really doing, you're doing the Lord's work and you're not getting any credit for it.
You have great taste.
I'm private about surprisingly my dating life, so I don't really comment on that.
That's
stuff.
Okay, we'll comment for you.
Yeah,
but sounds like things are going well.
I like Mike. Like he seems needs a chill slightly.
Like you put a picture on your Instagram story of like a girl wearing a white dress, and then it was like Rachel Bilson was wearing that white dress, so like me thinks like you're dating Rachel Bilson.
But sometimes you can just go to dinner with someone who's your friend, and you do have a lot of friends, as we've spoken about
as women who are women
100%.
That's why you're so woke.
Yeah.
So we don't really know what to think, which is why we came here.
Yeah, to find the tea. Honestly,
I do enjoy keeping people on their toes.
Will you tell us after?
Yes.
And we will. Okay. Yes.
Claudia.
Yeah.
You are also. Are you a stand-up comedian?
Yeah.
Is that yes? Yeah. You're a stand-up comedian.
Yep.
Big time.
Rochelle, also a stand-up comedian.
Oh.
I have a dream one day of doing it, not because I think I'll be good.
Martin Luther King once said.
Me and Martin. How did you start that? I mean, again, that's really cool.
Yeah.
You're 25, 24? Mm-hmm. Fuck, I don't know.
25.
But accomplished comedian. You're selling out theaters.
It's a huge privilege. One I'm only afforded because of the internet. Like I started
whatever the reason
I just wanted to do comedy, and I don't think I was brave enough to do it, you know, at an open mic. So it's always something that's been on my mind. But when I was, like I said, I've just been trying different things with the internet, and whatever sticks, great, whatever doesn't, great. And so I just launched a live show at Caroline's like 18 months ago in New York.
And you're just like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. And they wanted to have me just because we had a popular podcast. So I was really grateful for the opportunity. And I was like so nervous about selling tickets. I launched two shows, and I remember I was on a plane taking off And I was freaking out because it was like 9:59, 9:59, 9:59. And by the time it was 10 o'clock, I was like in the middle of taking off. So by the time I got Wi-Fi like 10 minutes later, I was having a pit. I was like having anxiety in the plane. And it sold out. And I was like, oh my God. So then I was like, oh shit, like it sold out. Like now I have to like do a 90-minute show.
You've never done stand-up before?
Never. And I didn't.
Oh my God.
And I didn't.
You sold out a 90-minute show winning totally. Oh, figure it out.
With, yeah. Well, because my first hurdle was the selling. And then I'm like, well, if it sells, I'll figure it out. And then it sold. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I got to figure it out. So I started working with a comedy coach. And to be honest, like, you can't like learn comedy. Like, you just got to fucking do it. But it's hard to do it in front of a sold out audience. Like, most people have the practice in front of like an open mic, a couple people, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. So I ended up doing 6 shows at Caroline's. And each one was better than the next and better and better and better. And it was 280 people. So it was like a pretty big audience to be practicing in front of. But like you said, our fans are very supportive and they were loving it. And they were just happy to be there. And I was really grateful for like the mattress pad. Like they weren't too tough.
Sure.
And then we just started adding more shows and it turned into like an 18-month tour that I'm still on. And we started doing comedy clubs and now I'm only doing theaters. And it's everything. Like, I wish that I had done it sooner. I wish I hadn't been so afraid, because like the amount of progress I feel like I've made in my own abilities in the last 18 months, like, I'm impressed with myself that I'm like, wow, if I actually started this 5 months ago, like, maybe I'd have a fucking Netflix special or something, you know? I mean, 5 years ago.
I think about that a lot, and I often don't take my own advice in that department. Mm-hmm. My life has been a series of finally doing things only to realize it was never as hard as I made it out to be.
Yeah.
And I think generally in life that's the case. I mean,
stand-up is as hard as you make it out.
It's the hardest job in the world.
I'm not necessarily talking about stand-up specifically, but like taking risks, you know, it might just be like moving downtown, yeah, or whatever it is, yeah, moving to a different city.
You know,
people
so
much like,
soon.
Oh, I don't think I can really, should I move? It seems so hard. I'm like, when you really break it down, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's slightly different. And then you'll do it and you'll be like, oh, it's so easy.
You should have done it sooner.
You should have done it sooner.
There's value in facing your fears. And sometimes it doesn't work out the way that you want it to, but sometimes it does.
Yeah. That's I think it's really neat. And I like, for me, again, the biggest takeaway is whether it's comedy or not, but in terms of just being not afraid to fail, because it could have not worked out. Though you could have not sold out.
Of
you could
course.
Have sold out.
Done a terrible job.
You could have done a terrible job. You literally didn't know.
I probably did do a terrible job. Now, if I watched it, I would like die of shame.
Well, you probably have gotten better.
I think so.
It sounds like you were.
Did you have other people open for you? Or
no.
Just, oh my God.
So I tried
wasn't straight stand up the first time.
Yeah, the first time. So basically what I did to kind of get to the place that I'm at now is like I put together more of like a variety show where I would do 30 minutes of stand up.
That's a lot.
It's still a lot.
Well, people, that's a lot.
And then I would like, you know, play games that were like, it was like a never have I ever, but it was still stand up, but there was more structure to it because I didn't know like how to transition into just like telling a story about the time I almost got arrested at the Syracuse airport, you know? And then I would have like guests like Caitlin from The Bachelorette came on, and I slowly started and like a Q&A, and then I took out the Q&A and I made the 30 minutes a little bit longer. Then I took out the games, made the 30 minutes 60 minutes, took out the interview, and then it was 90 minutes on its own. And so once I started dropping those kind of crutches, like it felt so good. Like, and then I almost felt stupid forever having done it. I'm like embarrassed that I used to do it, but that's how I got to the place. I don't even know how people, and like I can't even ever imagine going on another tour, because like all my jokes are in this one, like all my stories, like I have to like live 30 more years before I can ever write another show. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm. Still cool.
Thanks.
I think it's really neat. And it's also fine that you did improve, because like you can't, I think about our podcast.
Yep.
Like, I think it was pretty good when it started, but I also look back and be like, huh, yeah, it's better now, you know?
And
like
by this the way, little, you should
this
feel
little
that
little nuance. Yeah, it almost be weird if you didn't. Mm-hmm. And so, like, sometimes it's just like, also, and then it goes fast. You're like, well, if there were things like, well, if I could just be there, if it could just be done, people don't want to go through the journey. They don't want to.
The key.
They don't want to put in the hard work.
They don't want to embrace it, because that's part of the charm of, look, you don't appreciate it and you don't look back. And then if you felt like you weren't getting better, then you'd almost feel like, in business, literally the mantra is, if you're not growing, you're dying. If you're not getting bigger, like, staying the same in business is death.
Yep.
And that's kind of the same in life. If you have a show and it's just kind of stale and not different and not improving, mm-hmm, slowly over time, they're probably, with your audience, isn't noticing a definitive change.
But you
if
know.
They went back and listened, then it would be kind of not obvious.
Well, that's like our mantra here at The Morning Toast. It's like, there's so much value in growth. And I feel like in like today's kind of like cancel culture, people don't place any value on the fact that like you can grow up and like you can be different, and you're so quick to like hate somebody because of something they said 10 years ago, when it's like that it's actually very possible that they don't feel that way anymore. And it, like, this is what I said the other day on the podcast, is I was just rewatching the first season of Entourage, and in the episode they say the R word like every other line, and no one's, you know, out here canceling them because it was very much a different time, and I don't think there's enough acknowledgement to that. And the fact that like now today, like HBO would really never make a show where every other word is the R word. So I think that it's okay to grow up and understand that, like, as long as you're evolving.
I think sometimes people are afraid of the word ignorance.
Yeah.
In the sense that if you admit that you're ignorant, then all of a sudden you have the scarlet letter. But sometimes you can say, listen, I acknowledge I probably don't know as much as I do. I am ignorant, but I do want to learn. Yep. And sometimes you can say, well, I was ignorant and I have learned and I have, like, but you got
to. I'm still.
But there's always more learning to do. Like, there's always room for growth.
Yeah. It's like embarrassing. Like, how like ignorant I think I used to be, and I'm still very much embarrassing in my ignorance, but I'm getting a lot better.
I know I have been too, but like, yes, you can acknowledge that you were, but you're still, yeah. Again, sometimes people are afraid that they have been or were or can be ignorant, but like, that's kind of the first step.
That's so life, yeah.
The first step
is kind of like, yeah,
admitting you have a problem.
I don't know. Before I let you ladies go, we like to play a game here called Do You Know Me?
Okay.
It's a fun little game you can find on Amazon. Okay. It's a kind of a party game, but I like it because I think fun conversations come from simple questions. And so Rochelle and I are going to try to guess who knows you two better.
Okay.
It's real simple. I'm going to read a question. I'm going to insert both your names. Rochelle and I will guess if you have or haven't, kind of thing. They're random questions. And then feel free to elaborate if you'd like. Ready?
Yep.
Kicking off. Do you know me with Claudia and Jackie? Has Claudia and or Jackie kissed someone in the last 24 hours? They are traveling. They're out of town. I don't know if they're with their husbands.
Yeah.
Wait, we got to answer.
You're gonna guess.
Oh, your answer for us?
First guess. You will let us know.
Okay.
Well, I don't.
If they did, I don't think,
They've cheated on their husbands.
You don't?
No. They certainly wouldn't admit to it. So
announce it here.
Let's just assume.
We'll give you the scoop.
Honestly, though, that would be great for my show.
Yeah, real ratings.
If it were true, I would tell you.
Yeah,
right.
Me too.
You.
I do think maybe they are very affectionate.
Yeah,
and
they might kiss each other.
Like on the cheek, some sort of kiss. So I'm going to say yes, they have, but it's been with each other in a very sister-like, not weird porno sort of way.
You're half right. Because I will make out with my sisters. Like, there's no such thing as too close. We shower together. Like, I don't care. But Jackie is like a freak. She's like, don't touch me. She doesn't even like to be hugged.
You like
really?
Your space.
I like my space. Yeah, don't get up in my face. I don't like people like touching
my face.
Get out
of my face, ho.
Get the fuck out of my face, ho. That's an iconic line from the hit show Vanderpump Rules. Personally, I definitely have not kissed anyone in the last 24 hours.
I have. Oh. I think I kissed Lauren Elizabeth the other night and maybe Brooklyn.
Okay.
I just love kissing. Like,
that was also more than 24 hours ago, though.
Oh, that's true. It's have kissed Margo. We're sleeping in the same bed, so.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say no.
So you're both half right.
Right.
Together, you are right.
1-0 and 0-0 is the score. Has Claudia or Jackie ever pissed their pants? Hells yeah.
Hells yeah. If you're getting in clubs at age 16, you're pissing.
Why
the pants.
Do I feel like, and I apologize if I'm being offensive, that I feel more confident that Claudia has pissed her pants than Jackie?
Well, that's so shocking.
I feel like if Jackie had to piss her pants, even 6-year-old Jackie would have would.
Well, obviously everyone's peed their pants like when they're a child.
Before
but
we're talking post potty training.
Yeah.
Yes.
Post potty train.
Well, I appreciate the offensive inference you just made. But no, I actually have not peed myself as an adult. I don't think.
Really?
Oh, sorry. Yes, I did. I was at a wedding in Brooklyn and I didn't have to pee.
She's like 2 weeks ago.
And I didn't have to pee when I left the wedding.
Oh no.
But by the time I got back into the city, it was like a 30-45 minute drive. We get to Ben's apartment. This was a couple years ago. I'm like in my gown and I'm wearing Spanx and Ben doesn't have a key. Mm. So we are standing in his hallway when I had to pee myself.
Oh, that's...
And you peed in your Spanx? Mm-hmm.
In front of your husband.
Yep.
Shit right up.
And he was just my boyfriend right there.
That's love.
That's yeah. love. I've definitely peed my pants post potty training. It's a familiar feeling. I can't recall like when specifically, but it doesn't sound foreign.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I thought for sure I hadn't. I was going to surprise everyone.
Yeah.
It's been
hit you.
Yeah.
The memory.
I forgot. I tried to block it out, you know?
I was a bit of a bedwetter, seven, eight or nine. And since then, I've been pretty solid. But
pretty solid.
There was a time I was roller skating. I know I roller skate now, but when I was a kid.
Oh, sure.
I was having so much fun that I just all you're over.
A dude, like, it's, you really shouldn't be peeing your pants. Like, you just whip it out and like pee up on a building or something. Like, as a girl, you can't just like pull your pants out and squat in the middle of the road.
It was
kind of
like hard at a roller skating rink. It's,
yeah.
Feel like... Seems quite easy.
Or in the hallway outside Ben's apartment, like, there would have been the same option as you.
Yeah, but like if I had a dick, I would have like went outside and like been on a corner or something.
Out
like
the window?
Something. Like there's no options for a girl. It's like pants or toilet, you know? Mm. Dudes, it's like in a bottle or something.
We are
know?
Blessed.
Yeah.
With peeing.
Yep.
Does Claudia or Jackie know which element Na is on the periodic table? No. I don't. That's for sure.
I think they do.
Sodium.
Sodium, bitch. Yeah.
NaCl is salt.
Smart bitch.
Did you know
is that? It?
No, I didn't know.
I was going to guess salt, but sodium.
I was a physics major for the first part of my time in college, and then I transferred to be a communications manager, major once I like became famous on Instagram.
This is why I love Do You Know Me? Because, wow.
Yep.
Physics major.
Yep.
You're a math and science chick.
Yeah, well, not really anymore.
But
I can't even.
Impressive, Claude.
Thank you.
I would have gotten it wrong.
Who would have known?
I can't believe I knew that. Like, I know nothing. Like,
you didn't even hesitate. Yeah. You're like, please.
I'm just thinking back to Miss Bracha pointing at that periodic table chart of elements. Wow. I was really impacted by her.
Do you like Breaking Bad?
It's actually the second time I spoke about Miss Bracha this week. Loved Breaking Bad.
Great. Has Claudia and Jackie, or Jackie, ever won more than... I have options here. $1,000 in Las Vegas.
Oh,
I could have said 50, but I feel like you're hot.
Claudia
roller.
Just looked super smug and crossed her arms. So
I'm not saying anything.
It's a personal subject for
she's
her.
She's won, I think, $100,000. Like, that's the look she gave, $100,000.
I think at one time she's won more than $1,000, but she's lost more than she's won overall. Mm. She's had a big loss.
I did have a very big loss in the Ritz-Carlton in Puerto Rico. It was a very tough trip for me and Ben. We could not get out of that hole. And
she kind of gave herself away.
We kept going back every night, just like hoping. And, you know, it was really tough because at midnight in this hotel, in the casino, they would give out grilled cheeses. And they were so good. Like, they were the perfect grilled cheese, like really smushed, like white bread, American cheese. So we used to just sit around, like, waiting for the grilled cheese. So we just, like, had to gamble. And we got ourselves into, like, a huge, like, really, like, and this was, you know, back before we were both, like, really financially like independent, and it was really bad.
What are we talking?
It was a lot. And I have had, you know, very low lows, but I've had some high fucking highs, and I love winning. I have won way more than $1,000.
Yes.
And I just can't get enough. I'm a card counter.
She's a card shark.
And
you're so smart. You're acting like you're not smart.
No, actually, I can't count cards. Like, I'm actually not that smart. I just love gambling. I love the thrill. I love the environment of a casino. I love the free drinks. I love the camaraderie at a blackjack table. Like, I love gambling so much. Like, I'm getting the itch right now. You know, like, we got to drive to Las Vegas.
That's also, ironically enough, how many people talk about trying to get back with ex-boyfriends.
Oh. I guess gambling is my
vice.
Yeah.
No, or just like the bad bet. Just like, I'm just going
to... Yeah, just one more.
It's going to work this time.
One more time.
One more time. He's going to be the person I...
But you know what? In gambling, like, the odds, they're not crazy. So like, it actually might. Like, your ex-boyfriend... Like,
it's just one person and one chance. Whereas like, there's many cards that would situate your situation.
Yep.
But I'm the polar opposite. I do not...
You're
like
risk averse.
Gambling.
That's how this works.
It's not
right
even,
brain,
yeah.
left brain.
I don't know if it's risk averse. Also, I sound like the most boring bitch on the planet on this show. Like, they're going to be like, she has such a stick up her ass. But
no, she doesn't. She's so fun. She got also, so hungover on Saturday, she needed an IV.
Yeah. Whoa. And also, that's like what people want to say about me. And that's like the worst thing. That's
so true.
It's totally fine.
Count your blessings.
No, but I... And this is awkward because now we're playing a game. But I really just don't like games. And also,
it's so annoying. Like, I live to play board games.
How do you
like,
feel about this one?
I'm enjoying it so far, honestly.
Do you play Codenames?
Oh, that was a good one.
The board game Codenames.
The reason I don't like games is because I don't like to get involved, but when I do, I get really competitive and I'm so invested that it just takes a lot out of me. And so with gambling, I actually don't mind it, but if I'm going to lose a couple hundred dollars, I'd rather spend it. I just love to shop. So I would rather, if you're gambling, like I will go shopping. I don't mind to lose the money. I just want it to go to something tangible.
Hey, that makes sense to me. I mean,
and you know what? And the drinks, I know they give you free drinks at the casino, but they're disgusting.
I'd
rather pay for a proper martini.
They're also not free. They're also not free.
Right. They're also not free.
I gamble as a form of entertainment in the sense that I'll take out a couple thousand dollars and the or a thousand.
Rich. I take must out be a mighty big podcast.
When we gamble, I take out $100. I play like $15 at a time and it's like an activity. But
over the course of a weekend, if I go to Vegas, I mean,
that's a lot.
You're preaching the choir, Nick. We got to take a trip.
No, but I in my mind, that's money I'm going to lose as if I'm going to a show.
You're spending money for a good time.
If I win, great. If I don't go to the ATM and take out more money.
Yeah.
You know, like I basically budget it out over the course of a few days.
Those ATM fees are a bitch.
Yeah. So yeah. I have some control.
That makes
there.
Sense. Yeah. You're paying for the experience.
I'm paying for the. Yeah.
It's like an activity. It's like going to the club. You're getting a table.
Yeah. Final question.
Yeah, but what if you go gamble and then go to the club? It's like, it's an expensive night.
It's like you're not getting that table.
No, you guys don't buy bottles.
Excuse me. Oh I'm God. The bottle
the
queen.
The bottle queen.
I live for a bottle.
I don't doubt
I want
you
the
do.
Best, biggest bottle at the front table. Like
you're not getting the hookup?
That's a different question.
Yeah, that's what you're not buying the bottle.
We just went to Vegas for my birthday, and it was really hooked up, except we really wanted to see Diplo at XS, and they don't do hookups, but I bought it anyway because it was like everyone wanted to see Diplo, and then I just knew like if I took them to one of the free places, everyone would be like, I wish we were at Diplo, and then like people would like escape and run to Diplo, and I'm like a dictator when it comes to my birthday, and like no one's allowed to leave before 6 a.m. So I got it. I got the biggest, best table.
It was worth every penny.
I would have paid double. We were there, and the club was they turned the lights on.
They're sweeping
the confetti. I'm like, where's Diplo?
Wow, I kind of wanted to be there, but yeah, I probably would have been tired.
We should go back.
Final question: has Claudia or Jackie ever bought followers for a social media account? Jackie has not. I think Claudia has a long time ago when she was figuring out the whole social media game. She now is ashamed of it. She wished she never did it, but it did happen at one point.
Agreed.
You nailed it. When I
we
was,
were big tags for likers.
Well, no, I bought 500 followers.
Tag 50 friends if you laughed. Yeah, right.
I bought 500 followers when I started Girl With No Job. I had 500 and I wanted 1,000. Because back in the day, like the three figures versus the four figures was like a big deal. I bought 500 followers and then slowly, like they were janky because slowly over time, like they started disappearing. Like,
they left you.
I got back to 500.
Yeah.
So it was a huge mistake. One in which I don't endorse because it doesn't work. And it was pretty pricey too.
Yeah, I don't buy followers, but I'm really tempted to. Like even like right now after the show, I might go buy some. Yeah, because I think so many people buy followers. Brands, as much as they can see your engagement, I have the engagement of someone who has double the amount of followers that I have. I can buy all those followers and then get paid like double by brands. I mean, obviously not now when I'm expelling out my whole plan.
Right.
And now that I'm saying this, I probably won't do it because people will notice.
Have the tools.
It's really shocking.
No, but they really don't. I see so many premium influencers who have a million followers who get the same amount of likes that I do. I just have really high engagement because of that. We're toaster strong over here.
We're actually experts, and there are so many influencers who like
and we're not even just talking about like the fit tea model girls.
It's people who you know who have such low engagement, have so many followers, get huge brand collaborations, huge brand deals, and I would say over 50% of their following is manipulated or purchased.
Or their followers are from so long ago that they're not active anymore, and they're just at the bottom of their algorithm. So maybe at that no point did they actually buy followers, but they don't have a good engagement rate. And I could get that same rate if I just bought some followers. But now you would all know.
Yeah.
But so can you just follow me?
Yeah. Girl With No Job, Jackie O Problems.
But
no, like, please talk me out of it because I'm about to go buy some.
I don't
some.
Think you should do it.
She's not going to.
Because I think engagement rate is way more.
Impressive.
I mean, I literally, as you guys know, have natural habits. I'm a part of, like, we do a lot of marketing. I literally purchase software to look at this and find micro influencers. And as a business owner looking for people to endorse my brand, I only care about engagement rate. I might actually pay very little attention to the overall following. I mean, I look at it as a baseline, and then the devil's in the details because
you are an influencer, so you know that. Like these huge corporations who have 90-year-old white dudes running their influencer campaign.
The bigger the
one,
the dumber they are.
Yeah, it's so crazy. And if I ever do a campaign, I always look at the hashtag to see who else is running the campaign. And it's shocking how poorly chosen poorly researched these influencers are.
Yeah. Also, when you work with micro influencers, the engagement rate is always higher because of the ratio. Yes. But when you have a million followers, the expected engagement rate is 2%. I can get there, guys.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't.
I won't, because now everyone knows. That would be humiliating. And then all the brands would know.
That's not, what if you bump up 10,000 because of this podcast? We don't want people to assume that you bought followers.
That's true. That's true. I'll wait till after this podcast.
And then it decredits all of your future accomplishments.
Right. It's like when you buy one fake handbag, it ruins your whole collection. Your whole collection looks fake if you carry around one fake.
I feel I just admitted about the 500 followers. Now everyone thinks my brand is built on lies. It is, but.
Well, you're honest and vulnerable, and that's why you're relatable and lovely. I know you guys, ladies, you have to go. Before we do, I'm just going to toasters. Essential oils code toasters. Every time I go on their show, there's a code toasters.
Love the essential oils.
I think I'm your number one customer.
Except she's never paid for anything.
Right.
I have some more for you.
I'm your number one brand ambassador.
You've more than earned it.
Thank you.
She's a brand ambassador.
Code toasters. I think the discount is quite healthy.
I think it's 20%, right?
It's higher than that.
Let me
actually check. I think it's
what's
the highest.
What's your favorite?
It's the highest. It's the highest discount I've ever given.
I go off of whatever's in my drawer. I like them all, honestly. I like a little eucalyptus peppermint situation.
While Nick is looking that up, I just want to remind you guys, tickets to my tour are available at girlwithnojob.com. I'm hitting up, the West Coast. We got San Diego, San Francisco. We got New York. We got Englewood. We just announced new shows in Tarrytown and Verona today. We're hitting up Ontario. It's going to be a really good time. So Atlantic City, got to come through. Tickets available at girlwithnojob.com. It's about a 90-minute show. Everyone, the reviews are in, and I think they're good. So you should come.
And if you want to contribute to me not buying followers, please follow me at Jackie O Problems is all I ask.
I really quite like your handle. Was it an homage to Jackie O?
Yes. Well, my name is Jackie O, so I've always been Jackie O, but I made it during the era of white girl problems, and everyone had all these problems. And so I was like, I was like, I have Jackie O problems, because they were all specific to me.
The name alone is worth a follow.
Yeah.
Thank you. I actually do want to drop the problems, but
I don't think you should.
You don't? I think Jackie O is so much sleeker, but I don't know anyone who can help me. I message the girl all the time.
That's someone
She's
who might
responded.
Take themselves very seriously. Jackie O problems is
She's fun and lighthearted.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, it's not cheesy.
No,
I think you should stick with it.
And it's paying homage to your history, and how you got here.
That's how I got here. I'm built on problems.
Yeah.
The toasters is 35%. It's the highest discount we've ever given out. I'm going to activate it for this episode.
Yes.
You guys have been great. And it's the release one that you sleep with constantly.
Oh. Yeah. Nice.
She doesn't pay attention. She just uses it, which is fine.
Yeah. No, I like what I have. I don't know what it is.
NHOils.com.
Love it.
Ladies, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank
Always
you.
Fun.
Thank you for having us.
Best of luck in all your endeavors. You guys, obviously, if you're not listening and following them, Toasters, you guys are on multiple times a morning. Go see Claudia's stand-up. Follow Jackie on Instagram. It's been a lot of fun. We'll have to do it again.
Woohoo.
As always, guys, don't forget to rate us 5 stars on iTunes. Send us your comments. Well, you don't really have to send us your comments, so I'll probably ignore them for my own mental health. But, hey, we do appreciate you giving us a plug on social media. Until next time, have a great week. See you Monday. Bye-bye.